I want to let you know that this morning, I'm going to ask you to get involved and ask you to participate. And we'll explain a little bit of why. We just want to recap for a minute a few things that Brad and I have had the opportunity to kind of walk us through the last few weeks, last several weeks. And it started with saying let's remember first what this story is all about. I mean, Journey's been going through huge changes, and I mean, all of a sudden we find ourselves here in this space, and we see cool things happening, and stuff is kind of taking a different shape than what it has been for quite some time. And we just felt it was good to say, okay, wait, who are we? What is this thing about? And it starts with knowing the story that God is telling and what God has been unfolding from the beginning of time as we understand it here. And it's all about this God chasing after the one that He has forever had His deepest affections for, right? And we see pictures of it from even Adam and Eve. The whole story begins with, you know, man and woman, and these two becoming one person. And it all ends with the story of this wedding, this great wedding banquet that Christ and His bride will experience. And so, and everything in between. We've just been looking at different things. But in particular, was this one very interesting phrase that we get in the book of Colossians. Aaron, can you give me this first verse? There's been this thing that God has been planning and desiring and wanting to do, and it's been this huge mystery. And Paul finally says, God has revealed now what this mystery is, and it is Jesus Christ in you. It is again this picture of oneness where God, you and God, us and God, we and God are so close. The relationship is so deep that actually God's Spirit resides within the life of each and every one of us. Any one of us who would say, I want to know you. I want to surrender my life to you. God says, yeah, and I'm going to pour my Spirit in you. And we begin to experience this oneness with God. To the degree that we, the body of Christ, the church, according to the Bible, we become the second incarnation of Jesus. Jesus lived and walked. He was a physical person. He lived and walked and talked and ate and breathed and did all those things. Rooted for the Spartans and all that stuff, you know, while he was here. And you know, good and evil must work to grow together, the Bible says. And he did all those things. But there came a point where he said, now I have to leave you, but you know what? It's even better. Because this thing that God's been wanting to do, pour His Spirit within you, so that there's this... I mean, it's one thing for two people to kind of be in close proximity to each other, but it's a totally different thing when God's Spirit enters into a person and we become more like His Son, Christ. And so, that's been this mystery, and we go, you know, we just don't know. I don't know. We kind of get so caught up in our everyday, ordinary lives of, you know, 9 to 5 and punching in and punching out and running kids to soccer and just doing all the things we do. And all the while, there's this unbelievably incredible, amazing thing that God has been planning and wanting to do, and we can just miss it so much. So we've been saying, what does it look like for Christ to live in us? What is that thing all about? I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. When Jesus said, hey, by the way, it's better that I leave so that the Holy Spirit can come, there were a few words, a few names that He gave to the Holy Spirit. Actually, He gave one, but in English, it requires a few words. We understood that the Holy Spirit is a comforter, is an encourager. He convicts us. He convicts the world of sin, the Bible says. And so we said, have you experienced those kinds of things in your life? Have you come to recognize that it is your sin, it is making you God of your life that keeps you from Him? And it is all the selfish, self-serving, sinful things we do that create that distance and have broken that relationship. And until you hear God's Spirit speaking in your life saying, that is what I want to change, that is what you need to turn away from and strike out in a new direction, then maybe you've not experienced the work of the Holy Spirit of God. In fact, I would say you have, because the Bible tells us that's one of the things He does. But then He encourages us. And he comforts us with things like knowing that He prays for us when we don't have a clue what to pray. Romans 8 says this. When we are at the, man, we are just completely undone. You know, like at the end of your rope and you, this thing seems so overwhelming to you. You know what the Spirit does? The Spirit starts praying for us. Starts talking to God the Father for you, about you, on your behalf, in ways that you yourself wouldn't even know to say or express. Those are the kinds of things the Spirit of God does. God just wants this oneness, this closeness, this deepness of relationship with us. In fact, Brad talked about a couple things related to Spirit and breath and wind. I mean, you want to...
Yeah, we spent a week, and we continued this idea of God living in us. We talked about it in a passage in the very first book of the Bible called Genesis, passage where it says that God breathed life into the very first person, Adam. And then what happens? He comes alive. And then we looked into a book in the Second Testament where it says that Jesus does this thing that, apart from the First Testament, it sounds really weird. It says that He gathers His disciples together, and it says that He breathes on them. And we looked at that word breath, or breathe, in both the First Testament and in the Second Testament. And in both contexts, it means three different things. It means breath, it means spirit, and it means wind. This idea that the Spirit of God is as close as the air that we breathe. And that as we inhale, we can inhale the comfort and the guidance and the hope and the love and the truth of the Spirit of God. And we can exhale that hope and that love and that truth into the lives of the people around us. That God is... How would we live differently if we constantly had it on our mind that God is as close to us as the air that we're breathing. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, I think sometimes we think that, oh yeah, I just do this church thing or this Christianity thing is there for me to, you know, to help me with my problems a little, keep me out of some trouble, and just, you know, just, hey God, as long as you just keep kind of taking care of me the way you have been, maybe even a little bit more, that's good. You know, we'd never say that, but we kind of just go about it that way. Like, that's kind of why or how I do this God thing. And man, we read and we discover this kind of stuff, and God has a whole nother idea, okay? God has something so much more amazing and powerful. He wants to completely kind of reshape your reality in an everyday sort of way. And then we go on to read, and Paul starts talking about how we can walk according to the Spirit and keep in step with the Holy Spirit in our lives. And it becomes this, wait a minute, we can live in a way that as we are moved and shaped by God's Spirit, as we listen to God's Spirit, as Christ lives within us, as we are actually Jesus in the world, we walk and live in a way that is overflowing and abundant. Jesus says, I've come to give you this abundant, overflowing kind of life. And we begin to, when, as long as we follow the leading of the Spirit, as long as we are keeping in step with the Spirit and allowing God's Spirit to work, we can't fail, you know? The Spirit of God will always lead us in triumph. That's what Paul is saying. So we have to learn how to do that. And we have to strive to keep in step with Him. And we read in Galatians some just last week we did this, some weird things. I don't know, they kind of felt weird to me. Like, these are some of the ways that we keep tracking with the Spirit of God. And if you remember from Galatians 6, you remember there are three things in particular that we talked about? By chance, remember what they were? Okay, restore. You restore people who are lost in sin. It says people whose lives are, you know, they've kind of reoriented themselves to self, and you know, they are becoming God again, and there's evidence of that kind of bad fruit in their life, and He gives us that. But restoring them, it's our job to go and to restore someone and say, man, listen, God, this isn't what God wants for you. God has God has different desires, different plans, and you can be free from all that stuff. So restoring, what was the second thing? What was another thing? Remember? Man, we did it right here. We were doing it right here. Okay, bearing each other's burdens. Bearing each other's burdens, knowing this person is burdened in this way, this thing is going on, and the way that I keep in step with the Spirit of God is to go to them and say, dude, let me help you carry that. You shouldn't have to shoulder this by yourself. And I don't know, those just, to me, I thought, oh, that's interesting that those are some of the ways we keep in step with the Spirit of God. But it reminded me of this. We have to be drawing closer to the body of Christ all the time. You can't bear someone's burdens if you don't know them well enough to know what their burdens are, right? Or if you don't know them well enough for them to feel comfortable enough to say to you, hey, this is a deal, and I need help with this. I can't do this myself. Okay? And we have to be listening to God's Word so that the Spirit of God can be shaping our lives according to it. So here's the deal for today. That we just, real quick, kind of wanted to fly over the things that we've been talking about. But here's the deal for today. God speaks to us in a few different ways, we believe. We see this evidenced in the Bible. He speaks to us in His Word. I mean, this is God's communication to us throughout history. Okay? He speaks to us through His people. Through the body of Christ. I mean, that makes sense, doesn't it? Duh. Right? Okay? And thirdly, He speaks to us by His Spirit. Promptings, different things that you just suddenly, you know, maybe you're reminded of, and you go, oh yeah, I should, or I could, or hey, I think this person needs help, or whatever it is. In His Word, through His people, and by His Spirit. We see that in the Bible, and we're saying we want to experience that. But I think all too often, we don't. We don't know how to listen for, or experience, or appreciate maybe any one of them or all of them, I don't know. So we want to do a better job at that. Now, so that's where you come in. All right, that's where you come in today. It'll be a little different. Let me show you a couple things that Jesus said, just as a reminder. These are just reminders, so that you will understand what this is all about. Next set of verses, Aaron. Jesus says, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said. Okay. He will make everything plain to you. Give us the next one. Or did you? Oh, there you go. Okay. He says, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He won't speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears. And He will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to Me by taking from what is Mine and making it known to you. I mean, He says He will remind you of all the things I've told you. He will take you by the hand and guide you into all truth. He will take from Me and deliver it to you. Now, nowhere in the Bible are we told that that was only for the 12 guys that He was hanging out with. It's not as though the Bible says, well, hey, that was just for them. Now, you guys, you're on your own. You can kind of figure it out yourself. You don't read that in the Bible. In fact, others like Paul and these guys, they begin to say, look, the Spirit of God, it's Christ in you. He wants to reside in you. In this amazing way that even the disciples initially didn't know. So then in Corinthians, here's the deal. Paul says, he says this to a church that was meeting in Corinth, and they'd packed themselves into homes, and he says this. He says, when you come together, when you guys all get together, everyone has something to contribute. If the Spirit of Jesus is alive in you, then you better believe it. Everybody has something to contribute, something to bring to it. If the Holy Spirit has been at work in your life, don't you think that you might have something to talk about? Don't you think that you might have something to contribute? And that's what Paul says. When you come together, everyone has something to share. The Spirit of God is alive in you. It might be a word of instruction from the scriptures, he said. It might be a song to be sung. Any of you notice the last, there have been a few times over the last several weeks where we've said, hey, if you feel or sense that maybe there's a song that we ought to use, maybe there's something in a song that we use that speaks to what's going on or what you're hearing, then let's do it. We want you to be involved in some of that. Paul says, maybe you have a need to be shared. We just did that last week. I don't know about you, but that was one of the greatest things I've experienced here in the life journey. People going, you need this, I'll do that. And you know what? We want to pray over you and pray for you. Those kinds of things. There may be someone to be prayed for. Or perhaps notes to be written, a phone call to be made, someone to invite to dinner, money that you have that you ought to share with someone else. Those are the kinds of things Paul is talking about. Paul says, that's what your gatherings ought to be about. So here's what we're going to do today. We want to, for the next little while, want to give you an opportunity to do and share some of those very things. And you know that in January, we're going to start meeting a little differently. Talked about, we'll give you more information on this this in November and December, talking about it a little bit more. But we're going to kind of be rotating. We're going to have people meeting in homes. We have house churches, and we want people to be committing to those things. And then when we get together here, we're sharing some of that stuff, and we're doing teaching and so forth. But point is, we just want to practice a little bit of what that could be like. And we've been doing some of those things in the last several weeks, and today we want to do another one. Here's the deal. I'm going to ask you three questions. Remember the story I told not long ago about the girl showing up to the baseball game? She was handed a glove, thought she had to go out and play. Remember that one? That's the deal. You've been handed a ball glove today, and we're here to play, okay? We're not just watching. We're not just spectating. Three questions. Let's go with number one. Aaron? What have you heard from the Holy Spirit this week? Recently. Okay? That will help or strengthen the rest of us. What is it that the Spirit of God is doing or speaking into your life? And when I say speak, I mean, you know, he's making things to happen. He's making you aware of stuff. You might feel prompted to have done something. Or you've been reminded of something. Or you know, God uses, the Spirit uses the Word to teach you something or to change something within you. What is it? What is that? Tell us. Share it with us because it might strengthen us. It might encourage us. It might help somebody in here. So I'm gonna shut up and open it up for a little bit. And allow you guys to just share together. We're all going to just share together. Okay? So, go for it.
Alright. Anybody who was here last week? I just want you all to know that, I mean, we always hear the saying, the Lord will never give you more than you can handle. He will not. I suffer from severe depression. And I was kind of in a low right before my gastric cancer. So I'm thinking, Tuesday I had a breakdown. Wednesday, okay, whatever. Thursday night, mom calls me. Shannon, dad tried to go. I'm like, oh, dear Heavenly Father, what are you doing to me? I can't take one more thing. I can't handle this. And I'm calling everyone that I can call. No one is there for me. No one's answering the phone. My husband's at a football game. My kids are at a friend's house playing. I'm alone. And I'm like, why are you doing this to me? Why are you leaving me all alone? But I was okay. And then going to the hospital and being with my mom and my sister who are clearly a wreck. I was okay. Like, I was functioning and I don't know. And then we're in the ICU in this strange town and we have the crankiest nurse. And I see this girl. I know you. Oh my goodness. I haven't seen you in 12 years, but we grew up together. And you're a friendly face in this very scary environment. And the Lord, I just, kid you not, the whole footprint poem, when you couldn't do it by yourself, I carried you. He carried me through the whole thing. And you know, things are tough again. And that's okay. And I know that he's going to make it as tough for me as I can handle. But when I can't handle it anymore, he's going to take care of me. And I just want you to know that dang it, if things are tough for you, he's not forgotten you. He knows you can handle it. Okay? He knows you can handle it. Just have faith. Because when you can't take it anymore, he takes it off. Oh.
So what Shannon's hearing is, I've not left you, or I won't forsake you. I'm always there. Yeah. Cool. Very good. Very good. Thank you, Shannon. What is the Spirit speaking into your life that might be of help or encouragement or strength for the rest of us?
I have just a small one. As a staff to your going book. asked, well, why doesn't that happen in America? You know, you hear about all this stuff in different countries, but why doesn't it happen here? We don't see anything like that. And the answer from this guy was, well, in America, you study God, and these other countries, you worship Him. And that's just really simple, and it's so true in my life. I study God, and I try to do what the Word teaches me. And I do that a lot more than just spending a lot of time in prayer and a lot of time worshiping. So that's kind of it.
I want to share with you that in life, I'm hoping you'll see anything here, but you'll find out you can't have good without bad. And sometimes bad is like a channel, unless you're really bad. But He's always there. You just got to listen. And that's when she talked about worship and how why we don't have healing. We do have healing. We just don't know how to deal with that. But it's coming around. I just don't know. I'm just kidding. But you got to know that in life, like it is not a whole year. It is not. And you can only bear to figure certain things, but you'll find out you have a strength. And that guides you your spiritual growth. Once you start getting your spiritual growth and get together with each other, and this is what this is all about, bringing us together as a house church. It's probably the best thing I've ever seen in my whole lifetime, to bring people together and to share things. And you should know what the other one's doing hand in hand. And it's not just what we're doing here. We should be out there hand in hand, helping others. And that's what it is. You got to have the turmoil, you got to have the good. And it's not, you know, you always think, oh, I can't do this anymore, or oh, I got to, you know, this is so great. But you know what? Like when you hear that spirit, you'll feel like we talk about joy in our house church every day. What is it actually? Well, isn't it? Because some people don't feel joyful. They feel happy, but they don't feel joyful. Well, it means a lot of different things. So joy, to me, once I've been coming to this church, I found God and I found Him in the theater. But you know what? He's here now. And that's where He's supposed to be. He's gave me a messenger that He's been telling me here to do things I just haven't done. And I now, and she has right, He does speak to you. And how He speaks through me is like things like when I say little voices or through my dreams, but through my dreams. I come into this world, you guys, not nobody is in line. Okay? I can just share some of the shadow. I'm going to share with you. I come through my family. My mother was a Catholic. My dad has been terrible every other. I was abused very badly. As a matter of fact, I had a dream for 27 years. I lived in a casket. There was a little girl in a casket, and that was me. I had people that loved me. And in the name of love, they did horrible things to me. So, when I had my daughter, I didn't know what love was, so I didn't know how to love her. And she turned to something different, and I was trying to get that back, and that's what I'm doing here. And it's horrible. And you just don't know, and it wasn't just, it was through my life. And so when I got married, that was a hot thing too, because we tried to be together, and all this bad stuff come creeping into me. And it was just like, you know, you push people away, and you wonder what love is. And I just swear to God, I told you, I said, you love me, and you did this to me. What is this? You know, why are you doing this to me? What did I ever do to you? I was born for Christ's sake. Now you're taking, you're supposed to be loving me. And all I feel is hate when I walk into a room something, so I rebelled against them. I became hateful myself. And I went out after people, and I did what I had to do, and I don't even want to go into all that. But I turned the other cheek, but I did it in an evil way. And now I'm happy. God says that's enough. I even tried suicide a couple times. Guys, it's just so intense that you just don't know. And it's, so now he's saying to me, after all these years, and I'll be honest here, well, everything else is done, because he's told me that. This is my payback. And my child, the devil's after her, and we got to help her. We got to help her grandkids. And that's why I'm here. And if you don't believe in that, then you don't really believe in God, because he's worked for me, but the evil is greater than I can handle, and that's why I think he's not going to be this church.
Thank you, Dad.
I think this might be a good point to share a second question with you, okay? And it's not to say that you can't share other things if you want, but here's another thing we need to be thinking about. As we listen to each other, what is God saying to us as the body of Christ, to His church? What is He speaking to us collectively? Because the fact is this, if we are part of the body together, what he's doing, or you know, speaking into your life, he is also to me, to whatever degree, and so I and you, we need to know what those things are. So we need to ask this kind of question: what is he speaking to us? What is he intending to do here? Rochelle, what was it? I mean, we can study God, but what's the other? Yeah, okay, to worship him. To experience Him, to respond to Him differently. So this is a second question.
Hey, Chad, as we maybe begin to think about that, maybe be a good time just to worship Him through some music.
Okay.
I wanted to do this song once again, and I think it's fitting here. I mean, it's reflecting back on what Jesus came to do, and that was to go to the cross to fix this stuff, you know, to repair what was made wrong, and then all the good things that come out of that. He had to die, he had to leave to allow the Spirit to come and let us be who we are right now in order to make it even better for us in the future. But maybe this is a good time just to worship Jesus to that and say thank you. Let's do that together.
Spirit speaking in your life, and what might the Lord be saying to us as a body, based on what you've heard already?
I think the Lord is speaking to us that although it's hard because we have shame or guilt or despair, that in order to be Christ in each other's lives, we have to speak to one another about this one. It's hard to do. If Debbie hadn't poured out her heart to us, how can we be Christ? How can we build each other up and be with one another without that?
I think going on with that is you need to be in relationships with people. That's what we're created to do. And if we're not in a relationship with a person, if we are sitting at home just with our family and not extending ourselves to people, we are not going to know those things. I mean, coming here, we're going to hear about those things. We have to be a part of each other's lives and be experiencing life with other people to really truly know where people are at and be able to help them in whatever way we can.
Yeah, I mean, it's the model of Jesus. It's the song we just sang, right? I look
upon the cross, see what you've done, and then the last line says, once again, I pour out my life. I've got to pour myself out to you. Listen to what Paul says He's talking to a church from Thessalonica, but he says, we loved you so much that we not only told you, you know, the good news, we not only told you, spoke to you through the Scripture, but we shared with you our own lives. That's an expression of love for a person. Whether it be you pour out, you share your burden, and you say, this is where I'm at, or you extend yourself and pour out yourself for a person to say, I want to carry that with you. I want to help you through it. Both are expressions of love for others. And we need to do that. We can study and talk about God. We can learn what the Bible says. And we do that. We open it up. And right? I mean, that's what we want to help people understand. We need to live these things. So, good. Good. What more? What else?
While we were on our cruise, I was in a port and was kind of reminded of this stuff, more so on the aspect of joy, but, you know, bringing the relationship aspect into that. Our cab driver, I guess he was, Francisco, took us to an area of like $800,000 homes, which up here are probably $3 to $4 million homes, just these huge, really nice places. Then he says, I want to take you somewhere else. And drove us down through a neighborhood that had, you know, a couple 2x4s with some tin, you know, stapled to it, or saw some rope holding it together. Francisco said, you know, we were up over on an island, and I was watching your kids, and I was just kind of reminded of the things that people here go through. This was in Mexico. Nate got stung by some jellyfish. And he was complaining a little bit about it. By the way, Brad let me in on something. Oh, if you get stung by a jellyfish, you need to urinate on your leg. That's what takes care of jellyfish. So,
lovely. Brad.
So what is the Holy Spirit telling them?
I'm getting to it.
Oh, okay.
My niece was freaking out because a bee was around her, you know. Well, Francisco takes us through this neighborhood, and he says, you know, I was watching your kids and just how they reacted to those situations. He goes, those kids in there, they live with open sores on their body the entire day. They've got bugs flying around them all the time. Because then I looked at your kids and how they responded, and, you know, you guys were trying to do everything you could to make it better. These guys live with that every day. He kind of got on our case a little bit, you know. But then he said, you know what, though? You'll look at different places during the night, and there'll be some 55-gallon drum that's all rusted out. Somebody will start a fire in there, and this whole community will come together, and they are just the happiest people that you've ever seen in your life. They've got absolutely nothing. They never will. He says, you know, we've seen people come through here. They get in here. They will never leave. They won't have an opportunity. I know Mexico. They're staying here. But they had joy. They had happiness, you know. And you look at that aspect of community, you know, it doesn't matter. You've got, you know, you talk about seeing the glimpse of the goodness of God. I have no idea if they know God or not. Francisco didn't. He didn't even want to talk about God. But you see a glimpse of his goodness and how he, you know, puts that in people. And man, we've been talking about that this morning. We have that here, and we all have houses to live. You know, and we don't have bugs and open sores all over the place. We've got so much more than that, you know. But it was just really encouraging to see that up close and to hear him say, 5 o'clock every day, this community comes together, and that makes it good. That's what they live for. That's what they care about.
So the last question is this. Basically, all right, so what? What will we do in response to the Spirit of God? And how will we help each other carry that out? Let me just share you a quick illustration of a way I was challenged to think about this recently. In our house church a week ago or whenever it was, Deb was sharing more detail about her relationship with her own daughter and some things that her daughter is going through and her grandchildren. And it becomes very easy to go, you know what? Let's pray for her, right? Let's pray for her and And it kind of becomes like this: God, would you just do something to help her? But you know what? You know what that really ought to be about? If I'm going to pray that way, if I'm going to respond like that, I better be willing to, I don't know, maybe open my own home to Deb's daughter and grandchildren. If they need a place to stay, then, you know, maybe I'll be God's answer to that prayer, right? I better be willing to be God's answer to it. You know, we can protest abortion and those kinds of things, and we believe, you know, we're all pro-life, but are we willing to adopt some of those babies that are born to some of those moms who say, I can't do this and I won't do it? You know, it's that kind of thing. Asking yourself the question, what will we do? What will we do in response to the Spirit of God? If the Spirit of God is moving in a way and speaking these things to us, it isn't ours to just go, okay, well, God, I hope you take care of that then. You know? No, God is drawing us, stirring us to do something. So what is it? What do we do in response to these things, maybe? What we sense, what we're hearing God kind of speak and do in the lives of individuals here and therefore into our community, what are we going to do? What thoughts do you have?
I think we can get her some more phone numbers.
You know, there's something to that, though, Dan. Just saying, yeah. No, really, really, we want to be more available to people.
Absolutely.
You know, because you called us, and you left a message in our machine, and we weren't around. But maybe if you'd had our cell phone number.
Right.
You know, you don't just give your cell phone to anybody, right? But, I mean, people, you go, no, this, you can have this. And if you need, you know, it's easier to get a hold of us there. So the point of that is well taken. That's good.
Right, yeah. Wasn't a joke.
Yeah, no, I know. That Danny sure is funny.
Okay, no, it is.
No, it's but good. That's good. That's
very
good.
Don't mind, I apologize. Hey, what?
Oh, that's great.
And maybe off of that, you know, what is it that keeps us from, you know, getting to a house church and starting to experience that stuff? Maybe that's something that this week, you know, each one of us would look for one excuse that we made in our life, give that to God, and expect that He'll take that away. We can't experience this stuff alone. We have to be together. And you know, I don't know what it would be. I've got things that, you know, I go to house church, but you know, you're not always there and 100% ready and engaged. And I've got things to give to God. And that's another way this week to give Him one of those excuses. Does God take it away from me? We need to be together, and I expect that He will.
I have a suggestion that, Rhonda, I told her last week at church, I said, Rhonda, I'm going to bring you dinner this week because that's what I can do to help you, you know, and I know that then one night you won't have to worry about the kids having a meal, you'll stick it in the oven and it'll be ready to go. I have a meatloaf, it's sitting in my fridge, I never made it to her house. However, I feel think that, you know, if you hear of a friend or a family who's just catching you, it's difficult for them right now. Pick up a dinner and bring it over. Buy them a gift certificate to a pizza joint so that they don't have to worry about dinner for that, you know, for one night. Make it a little thing like that. And it's not so much the food or whatever. It's more the, oh, she thought of me, or he thought of me, you know. Yeah, somebody cares. So I think that could be helpful, you know, to someone like your daughter or something, you know, to send her a pizza gift card or something. And she's like, wow, they don't even know me.
I think the other piece is that we have to have the open communication, because so often you feel that you can handle all the things I know you don't want to share with anybody. Because, you know, as I actually was kind of talking right this morning, I didn't realize how much everybody here is impacted our world. My dad's doing great, he's still in the hospital, but I don't think we're good, there's no dialysis. But if we don't talk to each other and communicate and mix up, hopefully
now, I'm being reminded, once again, give the Lord credit for everything, good and bad.
Absolutely.
Because even the bad, like a friend of mine shared before, is like, greeting to a pancake. If you took each one individually and ate it, it would be bad, you know. But if, when you put them together, you know, you get something good. And it's kind of like the bad things in our life that it builds our character, who we're going to be, and our greater plan of who God wants us to be. That's just, I just keep being reminded of that when I hear this stuff, you know, and the faith and the trust and faith then. Give them credit. Even like the bad, really bad stories, you know. There's a few people that spoke them today, but there's more of us that lived what they were saying, you know, and share stories. You know, it's important that they know that too. They're not the only ones.
I wasn't here last week, so it sounds like you guys have talked about these like circles and what, but. We need to tell each other what our needs are, not just what our needs are, but what our wants are. Because God wants to be more than just your needs. He wants to be what you want. He loves you, and He just wants to pour out His blessings, and He does that through us. And so, doubt if it's something you need, not even if it's something you need, but it's something you want, please tell me, because I want to be God's hand in pouring out His blessings on you.
Cool. Well, you know, you hate ever to, at the risk of cutting something short, but maybe we can at least go from this saying, I got a little taste of how oftentimes God, by His Spirit, will do these things, and how I can be a part of that. And it's one of the ways God will speak into our lives by the things He's doing through another's life. And let me give you a good one. Let me give you one that I don't know, it's kind of exciting, but it still fits with the same thing that I think is kind of a recurring theme. And we'll finish with this. We'll do a song and so forth. But, you know, being in this space, and we're still kind of trying to figure out what all we're going to do and how it's going to be used. But we just are convinced that God is moving and God is at work doing something for Journey. And we are experiencing things as the body of Christ and as a faith family that we just really hardly ever have before. Okay, but it was a few weeks back, showed up, and taped to this door right here was a card from somebody in the township. And briefly this, somebody filed a written complaint about Journey Church being here and meeting here in this space, okay? And So the township came a knocking to see what's going on here. And long story short, but as it relates to just us, because it kind of would have some effect on other businesses in here as well, but as it relates to us, we began sharing with the guy who's our landlord. Now, I want you to know, what I understand of our landlord, the guy is a God-fearer. I mean, he loves what we're about and what we're doing, and he respects that. But I really don't know. I'm not certain that he has really truly given his life to follow Jesus. But we began sharing with him what's going on, and he is like, you know what? I'm going to take care of that for you. Okay. Yeah, it's awesome. In the book of Acts, he's the kind of person that is referred to as a person of peace. You know, he may not be a Jesus follower, but he's just favorably disposed toward the, you know, kind of what we're doing. And so he like gets on the phone with him, and he's going over there to meetings. He's like, you know, I'm just trying to help these guys out and trying to run a business here and so forth. And you're giving, you know, so he's like going to bat for us, you know. And it was one of those things though. When I saw the card, and I think Brad could attest to this. I mean, I just kind of like, you know, what else, you know? What is going on? And I hit the panic button sometimes, okay? And it's always good to be in partnership because Brad's like, dude, what is wrong with you, you know? and then all of a sudden, and we prayed about it, right? We just said, Lord, we don't know what this is about, but, this is yours. And then Dave comes. Dave shows up. That's our landlord's name. And he's working for us. And he's trying to take care of this. And just a good thing. God provides. God will take care. And I don't know. Maybe that's the theme of the morning. Maybe that is something you need to take with you into whatever it is you're walking back out into when you leave this place into the rest of the world. And we want to finish with blessed be your name.
Yeah, let's do that. Have you stand up. God is good no matter what. Whether it's plentiful or desert place, blessed be your name.
Have that. Hey, God bless all of you. Do not pass go. Make sure you get your kids if you have kids. Free them. Let them go. See ya.